At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for something special. Please put your hands together for
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Sports is the anchor, but when you feel like going out into the dangerous seas, then you lift the anchor.
Hey, that figures, you know?
Yeah, sure does.
No, it's lame. Everything's lame.
Jeff Lutz.
Is the fastest time, does that mean they finish first? This one pole vaulter jumped 17 feet. The other guy jumped 15.6. Who won?
Cool, I broke his brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition. I'm getting a little mixed minus in my headset. Max Fire will take care of that. Jeff Lutz is here as my co-host. And Max is back in the studio. We are ready to roll
on
a crisp and cool Tuesday. How you been?
Tired, you?
Why are you tired?
Good question. I don't know. You?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand why you're tired. Are you not getting enough sleep?
I don't know what I'm getting. It seemed like I got enough sleep last night. But maybe I didn't. Who knows?
What time do you go to sleep?
9:30.
Time do you get up?
5:30.
Really?
Yeah.
That's plenty of sleep. I thought you got up earlier.
No.
What's your shift now?
It's 6 to 1:30, something like that.
You full time over there?
As far as I know. But I work a lot more on other hours.
Well, I'm curious about all that. You never tell me anything. I thought it was 4:30 to 1.
No, I've kind of backed off of that just to save my own life. But it's all good.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
I don't leave for lunch anymore. I work plenty of hours, so don't even... It's all good.
Well, wait a minute. Who cares if you leave for lunch?
Well, that's an hour.
The job is to work 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I get there.
Well, we'll talk about it.
No, we won't.
Why?
Because we don't need to.
Well, I'm curious.
None of your business.
What do you mean, none of my business?
Yeah, it's none of your business.
My business is everywhere.
Nah, you're good.
I'd like to know a little bit more about this.
You don't need to know any more about it.
There's Are nothing you in good standing?
Of course.
869-1240, that is the IHOP hotline. We'd love to hear from you. We've got Jesse Newell on the show today to talk about the Chiefs. I've heard from a bunch of people when the Chiefs topic comes up, they're not going to win it this year. I can see why you think that, but I'm not there yet.
Well, we'll have to see. You know, I don't like making prognostications. They're either going to win it or they're not. It doesn't matter what I think.
You shouldn't follow sports.
It doesn't matter what I think
sports
or say.
Should have no meaning to you.
Why?
Because that's all it is. At 2:45, Alyssa Gonzalez from Wichita State Volleyball will join us. They are in a first and second round NCAA tournament. Down in Dallas, they'll face the number one seed in that four-team field, Southern Methodist University. Nobody calls them that anymore. They should.
No one has ever called them that.
Of course they have.
No, they haven't. They've
Back
been SMU.
In my day.
Does anyone call the University of California at Los Angeles? No. SMU, UCLA, USC.
Southern Methodist University.
TCU.
Texas Christian University.
I understand what they stand for, but nobody calls them that.
Nobody does now, but they used to.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, Jeff, I lived it.
Not any time I remember.
Okay, well, you're not as old as I am.
Yeah, so anything...
When I tell you something that happened in my life, you don't need to intervene.
No, SMU's
always... I know what happened.
SMU's always been SMU.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
Sure, if you wanted to shorten it, but not nearly as many people did in that day. They called them Southern Methodists. We call it Houston Baptist. We don't call them HBU.
I've never referred to Houston Baptist once in my life about anything.
Well, I have.
When?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
Again,
either.
Again, I've been doing this a lot longer than you have.
So that means you've talked about Houston Baptist?
Right. Somewhere along the line, I've talked about them.
Interesting.
Shockers may have played them. I don't remember.
Unlikely.
Here you go again.
What?
This is becoming a pattern. You just want to come over here in a surly...
I'm not in a surly. You put me in a surly.
Sour mood. And
sour mood.
Expect me to deal with it.
You put me there.
How'd I put you?
I don't know. Just the third degree and the push and the... just don't need
it.
Well,
I thought you went to work earlier.
No.
This is all news to me.
It doesn't need to be news to
you. I thought you got up at 4:30.
No.
Well, I've learned something today.
There you go.
You don't tell me anything.
I go in a little bit later, get all my work done. Everything's beautiful.
Well, as long as they're okay with it.
Everybody's okay with it.
Well, I may check. I may check on that.
No, you don't need to. You can stay out of things.
You have a game coming up? You don't like fatherly advice, do you?
I don't need fatherly advice.
You don't like fatherly input?
It's not necessary.
You really be okay without fatherly?
That's not true.
It seems that way.
But I don't need fatherly input. I got things figured out. Yeah, I got a game.
What's the game?
I'm not going to tell you that.
The games have been falling off a little.
What are you talking about?
They need to be playable.
What does that even mean?
They need to be games that we know something about.
Either you do or you don't. That's why it's a game.
By the way, what do you make of Rob Manfred's idea of using a hitter once per game in a given situation, any hitter in your lineup?
I don't know.
You got to know. If you're going to take the opposite side of
I'm
this
I'm not
one,
as up in arms about that as a lot of
are
people
you
are.
Kidding?
Because Joe Posnanski's been talking about that for years, and I've just kind of gotten accustomed to people talking about it. It doesn't drive me insane.
It drives me insane. What's Joe Posnanski said about it?
He said it'd be kind of interesting.
It wouldn't.
He's talked about how, you know, you don't get those matchups very often. He's been talking about this
for
a long time.
You get the matchups you deserve.
I don't think I would like it, but it wasn't like this thing that came out of nowhere for me.
What if the runner that you want to use is, what if the hitter you want to use in a certain situation is on the bases?
I don't know how that all would work.
You have a guest runner? Are you going to bastardize the sport to that degree?
I'm sure.
You've already got this extra inning nonsense. Nobody likes. Nobody likes a ghost runner. It's not the way baseball was meant to be played. And now you're going to think about doing this? Does this guy know baseball at all?
It's a little different. I don't like it.
Then just go with that.
I don't think I'd go for it. But again, it wasn't one of these things that just like knocked me over. Because again, Joe Posnanski talks about this stuff all the time.
I don't care what Joe Posnanski talks about.
Let's come up with the craziest.
I know you have a high regard for Joe Posnanski, as I do. But if he's on board with this, he's not a baseball guy.
It's not about whether he's on board. He's discussed different type of way, way out there rules that may make baseball more interesting.
Be careful. This would not make baseball more interesting.
Really?
No.
If you
this
had...
This would threaten to ruin the sport as we know it.
So if I had...
So let's say... Close the door there. We're going to... I can't believe you. You would take the opposite side.
I'm not taking an opposite
side. Let me
side.
Ask you this. So the Yankees have Aaron Judge, right?
Right.
Is he going to be the guy they utilize in every one of these situations?
Well, if they have Soto, then no.
Judge will be, right?
Or Soto, if they have him. I'd rather have Soto up
but
than Judge.
One of the stars. And so that star will get an extra at bat every game, right?
Not theoretically.
That's 162 extra at bats for your best player. What does that do to the record book?
What is... Man, I don't know.
Well, think about these
things. It changes the record book. It changes things. But that happens in every other sport, too. So I don't... Again, we protect baseball to a different level than we protect every other sport. Like when the three-point shot came along, what did that do to the record book?
Okay, you got a three-man limit as a pitcher, right? Let's say you only pitched to one hitter, and they bring in Soto to face the right-handed pitcher. I can't go to a left-hander?
I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. I'm sure they would account for every possible... Because
do you see
baseball already does that
here? Do you see the?
Well, anybody can point to things that would go wrong until they're addressed by whatever rules would come out of it.
Is this something baseball really needs?
No, it isn't.
Then why are we even talking about it?
I don't know.
It makes me nervous. If that's what Rob Manfred is spending his time on, he makes me nervous.
Either you like baseball or you don't. That should be the position of Rob Manfred. The game doesn't really need to change.
So you're coming around to my view.
No, I don't have an opposite view.
You have a view.
I don't have an opposite view. It doesn't need it. There's no need for it.
But you're not fired up about it.
I'm not as fired up about it as others, again, because I've seen it floated out there for a long time.
But you never thought. You never read that thought and said, "Well, that'd be let's do that. That's got a real shot." No,
I don't think it should happen.
Then just go with that.
I am going with it, but there you can't tell me
you,
there's
you
not.
You keep throwing in a butt.
You can't tell me there's not a little intrigue. You
no, there's none.
You don't have anybody.
I have no intrigue in
you
that.
You don't have any players that would enthuse you coming up. But
no, I don't have any intrigue in it.
If I had Brian Rocchio coming up, but I got to bat Jose Ramirez, I don't know.
That's ridiculous. That's utterly... Are you serious?
But as a fan...
No!
If all you want to do is win, and you can gain an advantage somehow, then
there's
enticing on some level.
There's no other move for the opposing manager to make to nullify it.
We don't know.
Strategize.
We don't know.
You can't bring in a pitcher.
We don't know that.
You can't get him warm. You can't get him warmed up. You can't bring in... You don't know. It's ridiculous. This is the stupidest.
Since when do we care about?
Oh gosh, you're going to give me a stroke.
Since when do we care about pitchers?
You're going to give me a stroke.
Pitchers have every advantage already. Who cares?
There is no way you can be on board with this.
Well, they're trying to put more offense in the game. I don't care what they. I don't care what they do to pitchers.
You know what? Learn to hit.
Okay, you learn to hit.
Learn to hit better. That's how you get more offense in the game.
Do you understand they're the best hitters?
Learn to hit better.
That's how they hit. They're the best.
Unbelievable that you would even give lip service to this. It makes me wonder about you.
Like what?
You can't be a baseball guy and want this rule or even tolerate this rule. There's no way.
All I'm
There's
doing
not
is...
one base. If you look at the reactions to this... It's unbelievable.
All I'm doing is thinking about the possibilities, right? If I have a superstar hitter, but he's not due up till 7th, but we load the bases, I'd like him up. That'd
oh
be nice.
Oh, my God.
That'd be nice
Oh, my
to have.
God. You are a loser.
What are you talking
talk
about?
Like that. Seriously.
What are you talking
You're
about?
You're a loser when you want that. You want to bastardize the sport.
What does that even mean?
For the possibility of bringing up your best hitter in a big situation. It's absolutely ridiculous.
So what if the NBA went to 7 fouls instead of 6?
Don't care.
Right. Who cares?
That's not a rule.
But that guy might get to play.
That's not a rule that would change the game.
But that guy might get to play 5 extra minutes and score 3 more points a game, and that really messes with the record book.
6 fouls is fine, and there's no talk of going to 7.
But they've moved the three-point line in. They've added the three-point shot. They've widened the lane.
Those
kinds
of rules are tweaking rules that help the overall game.
They've taken away illegal defense.
This would not help the game. This would ruin the game. It would ruin the game.
What about it would ruin the game?
Because it's not baseball. It's fantasy baseball. It's video game baseball. Oh, this is cool. I got my MLB 25, and I can put up whoever I want.
I don't think that's how video games work, but you never know.
It's ridiculous, and I'm as fired up about it. And I knew you'd come down here today and find some way to defend it.
You're defending it. Based on what?
Because you're not blasting it. Oh my God, what? You're not there.
Why blast it?
Because it's stupid.
Any idea has some merit.
Really?
Yeah.
Any idea has some merit.
It is worth a discussion if someone's going to throw it out there for like,
give
okay,
me an idea.
You off the show.
Not worth merit. Not worth a discussion.
Can we discuss it?
I mean, I just knew you are so defensive.
What are you talking about?
And you are so steadfast in your refusal to agree with me on almost anything.
I do agree with you. I don't want it. But there is also a side of me that's like...
So if you were talking to Rob Manfred, what would you say? Here's what I'd say. Rob, you need to go.
I would be like, Rob, do you need a...
You're trying to kill the game.
I'd be like, Rob, do you need a press release written up on this?
Really? That's what... Are you sucking up?
What do you mean? That's just what I'd ask him. And if he said no, then maybe we'd get into a discussion.
Well, it's too bad. I feel terrible for you.
There's no need to feel terrible for me. I'm wonderful.
I feel bad that you would even tolerate this.
I didn't say that.
That if it was
all
implemented,
I said was,
you would not climb to the top of the mountain and yell about it.
All I said was there is intrigue in having my best hitter up in the best situation. That's intriguing. You can't say that.
That's
it's
why
not.
You make a lineup. That's strategy.
A lineup has no guarantees.
Right. That's what's beautiful about it. That's why you need a team full of good players.
This has no guarantees either.
Oh, it has a much higher. If I'm a pitcher, I'm quitting. If I'm a fan, I'm never going. If I'm a pitcher, I'm quitting. Good luck with your baseball, boys. Because you've just ruined the game.
You'd give up the game over this.
Yes.
Really?
I would lose all interest. And I'm not saying that to try to be dramatic or bombastic. That rule, if it is implemented, would cause me, and I'd love this game. I've spent my entire life. There's no one who likes baseball more than I do.
Well, I don't think
that would cause me to be done.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why is it even out there? Why do we need this? What's the purpose? Oh, look at me. I'm trying to think of ways to make the game better. I'm Rob. You idiot, Rob Manfred. What are you doing?
I don't know.
You're antagonizing your most loyal fans because you had some harebrained notion.
It's not his harebrained notion.
It's his harebrained
notion. It's been out there.
Well, then, whosoever notion it was, it's harebrained.
I don't think it's...
And put that in your Joe Posnanski pipe and smoke it.
I don't think it's that far out there. It's not the craziest thing you can come up with. It's not necessary. That's all I'm saying. I don't either. Like I said, either you like baseball or you don't. This isn't going to make anybody extra watch. If you don't know who these players are, you're not going to say, ooh, Lindor's up now, and he's up again in two batters. It's just not necessary.
Your lineup includes 9 players. 5 of them hit. 4 of them are completely defensive players. Only 5 hit. That way you get – and you talk about dumb – see how dumb it is?
But
that's a better idea than Rob Manfred's
idea. But if that was the rule since 1870 and it was still the rule now, and we said, okay, how about nine guys hit? And then you said, well, those four guys stink. That's why they're only defensive. They're never going to be able to figure out hitting.
But do you see how dumb my idea is?
But if,
and it's infinitely
but
better.
But if that was the rule.
Rob, no, let me talk. It's infinitely better than Rob Manfred's idea.
Okay, but still, if that was the rule dating back to the beginning of the game,
nah, I don't care.
No one would care.
You'll get four gold gloves, five hitters. That's your lineup. Five guys bat. Dumbest idea ever.
What if that was
the only idea dumber than that one is Rob Manfred?
What if that was the original rule of baseball that only five guys hit?
All right.
We're still doing that now.
We're going to take a break, come
nothing.
Back and talk. I don't want to answer that. It's not. It's beneath me.
No, it's not.
I'm not answering questions that are beneath me. I made my point. I came up with the most ridiculous idea in the history of the world, and it's four times better than Rob Manfred's idea. Jesse Newell joins us after the break. We'll talk Chiefs. Stay with us.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 12.4.
Let's get to our hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Jesse, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I want to ask you, because you are the arbiter. Often on this show after Jeff and I have had a debate. What do you think of the Rob Manfred idea of using a hitter in a key spot one time a game?
I feel like I cheated on the test because I think I know your feelings on this based off of Twitter. I would just say my personal opinion on this is that I guess I'm old enough to be a traditionalist and think that it's sort of ridiculous, and I would not be in favor of it. I will say this, though, that I've heard like a podcast from other NBA GMs where what makes some of those games really exciting, and what you can talk about football too as well, which is like game point, game on the line, you know the ball's going to LeBron or Joel Embiid or whoever, and you get to see superstar versus superstar. It's a little less like that in baseball, but then again, when those moments do pop up, I think it's even more special, like we saw in Game 1 of the World Series this year and the Grand Slam. So very much not in favor, but it does seem to me sometimes like these are just ploys to get us to talk about baseball in December, and what do you know, it might be working.
Could be. All right, let's get to the Chiefs because they are I've never seen a season like this where every game is a live wire act. Can they? I mean, here they are. They're destined. It looks like they could very well be the number one seed, although Buffalo is going to have something to say about that in the AFC. How good is this Chiefs team?
It's a really good question. Not that good the last couple of weeks. You know, I feel like two realities can be true at once, right? Like, if you were just power ranking the teams, and then I remember becoming on your show and saying this a few weeks back, where it's like, hey, the Lions are probably better than the Chiefs right now, but the Chiefs have the better record. You know, it's probably the number of teams that can legitimately claim to be better than the Chiefs has probably grown since then. You know, they're probably the fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the NFL. But if you could place me in the place of one team to try to win a Super Bowl this year, I'd still take the Chiefs because, as you said, Bob, you know, they've got a chance of the one seed. They have, you know, the inside track to that if they can continue winning, however they keep doing it. They've got that future Hall of Fame head coach. They've got Patrick Mahomes. And, oh, by the way, all this happened last year. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know what they were doing on Christmas when they lost to the Raiders last year. And they just sort of have shown an ability to turn this thing on when they need to. And so, I mean, especially if they get the one seed, especially if they get the bye, especially if they make it the Arrowhead Invitational again for the AFC Championship game, I like their chances as good as anybody in the NFL still. So I think we need to kind of label our lucky here, you know what I mean, or label our disappointing, because what's disappointing is if you're the 49ers and you had Super Bowl aspirations and now you're almost out of the playoff race. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're disappointed and the team is still 11-1 and there's everything in front of you. You can still be disappointed in the result and feel like they're not the best team in football because they're not, but they're still in a great position moving forward. And like I said, the history, even from last January and February, tells us that this team has an ability to turn on when it matters. So I guess I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, but how good are they right now? I don't know that they're that good. I mean, good. They're a good NFL team, obviously. They're top five. But are they one, two, or three? Probably not at this moment because they've got some things to clean up and fix and figure out. And that's basically on every side of the ball you want to look at. Offense, defense, special teams, all of them have questions coming out of this Raiders game.
Yeah, you said they have an ability to turn it on when it matters. And obviously for seeding, there's home field stuff. But how much do these last five games matter to the Chiefs? We know they can go on the road and win in the playoffs. We know they can win three games in the playoffs. We know that they can do all that. So do any of these games actually matter? Do we need to see that quote-unquote turning on when things matter to have a different feeling about the Chiefs going into the postseason?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's required because the Chiefs were a little bit limping down the stretch last year and they ended up winning a Super Bowl, so it's possible. I still think there's quite a bit on the line. You know, the Chiefs had an early bye this year, and Chris Jones kind of even talked to this after the last game against the Raiders, kind of petitioning the NFL to say, hey, if you're going to have a team like the Chiefs play three games in 11 days coming up, he would prefer to have a bye later in the season rather than one early that doesn't do him much good. I think you saw last year when the Chiefs were able to sit some players for that Chargers game, it kind of rejuvenated them for the playoffs, especially a guy you're looking at like Travis Kelce, who did not have his legs under him in the final few weeks of the regular season, and then all of a sudden the playoffs was running as fast as he's ever run in his career. I do think the bye week for this Chiefs team would be a huge deal. And it gives you another game you don't have to play. You know what I mean? Like, right now, would you feel like super duper confident in the Chiefs playing the Broncos at home in an opening round playoff game, 2-7? I mean, I don't think you should, right? Like, the Broncos were a non-block kick away from beating the Chiefs Arrowhead a couple weeks ago, you know? So I think these games do matter. As far as the turn-on, turn-off thing, I don't think that the Chiefs are necessarily coasting or believing that they just have, you know, this magic elixir. And I know Patrick Mahomes, for one, was really frustrated after the game with how the team performed. They set a high standard for themselves. But I do think there might be a sense of, you know, when you win these close games, like, for example, when you remember the Buffalo game, when the Chiefs had to have a touchdown late in that game, they did kind of turn it on, and they went like 8 or 9 plays down the field and scored a touchdown in like 2 minutes, and you're like, where's that offense been all year? But it sort of was like, oh, they got to do it now. So they did it. You know what I mean? So there might be a sense of that with this team where it's just like they've been good in clutch situations. They've been good in fourth quarters. They haven't been good at putting any team away. But they do know how to rise to the occasion. And so that might be a game-to-game thing, but I actually think there is a lot on the line here these last few weeks for the Chiefs because I right now I think they're vulnerable. And getting that bye and getting all those home games for a team that is vulnerable and maybe not as good as some of the teams they've had in the past, I think that's a big deal. Any of those little margins that you can add up in your favor, you know, could be the difference come playoff time, especially in this season when you're going for a three-peat.
And Buffalo has an easier remaining schedule than the Chiefs, for sure. So we'll see. Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star. How important is it? I don't know what they can do about their offensive line at this stage of the season. It's been an issue. Is there anything they can do? What schemes can they change? I like it when Mahomes gets out of the pocket and he's done more of that. What can they do to take a little pressure off what is a little bit of a faulty offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, this is the break glass case of emergency. You're probably going to see a new starting left tackle this week. It's going to be DJ Humphreys, the former Arizona Cardinals left tackle who signed with the team about 2 weeks ago. And there's just no other option, guys. I mean, they signed this guy because they kind of figured maybe there was going to be an issue with the depth there. And when Mahomes kind of had his little outburst after, you know, Wanya Morris gave up another sack at the end of that game in the fourth quarter, right around the left side or around the left tackle where he was sacked in less than 2.5 seconds, that was it for Wanya. And it's probably it for the season if, you know, DJ Humphreys can come in and just be, I mean, literally just be a below average left tackle. That's what they need right there. I mean, here's the problem with offensive line. When you're talking about, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think their offensive line is below average. I think it's well above average. But we call this a weak link system, which means there's only one link in the chain that has to be broken for this whole chain to be bust through. You know what I mean? So I think Joe Tooney at left guard is really good. And I think that Creed Humphrey at center is really good. And I think that Trey Smith at right guard is really good. He's going to get many, many millions of dollars this offseason. And I think Juwan Taylor, when it comes to pass blocking and when he can avoid penalties, is pretty good at just the blocking part of this. But all that doesn't matter if Patrick Mahomes is getting sacked in less than 2.5 seconds because his left tackle can't touch an edge rusher coming off the edge who was cut by the Carolina Panthers in the preseason this year. You know what I mean? So they got to figure out left tackle. They have to get an option there who just does not completely whiff on guys. And so that's why you're going to see a guy who probably doesn't know the playbook, doesn't really know what he's doing in Kansas City yet, is still gaining his bearings, and is coming off a torn ACL. He's the next man up in line, and I just don't think they have another option. So expect DJ Humphreys to start a left tackle for the Chiefs coming up here Sunday Night Football. And if he can be below average for NFL standards, he will continue to be the left tackle, and he will be an upgrade over what the Chiefs have had hit there over the past few weeks.
So they got the Chargers coming up. They've got Denver to close the season. I'm just curious, how interesting do you think the division is now, especially with the new elements that those teams have? A rookie quarterback in Denver, Sean Payton, second year coach, obviously Jim Harbaugh in Los Angeles. How interesting is that? How much of a different and new kind of challenge do those teams present to the Chiefs, and is that something that could revitalize them in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think this shows you what great coaching can do, right? Like, the Broncos bought themselves out of one of the worst contracts in NFL history, or so they thought, with Russell Wilson, and they're still competitive this year. You know, like, they are operating with one arm behind their back because they knew they had to get out of that deal, and they did, and they're still good. You know what I mean? That also makes this game kind of, you know, I don't want to put too much on this game for the Chiefs, but like, those teams aren't looming too far back in the division. If the Chiefs win this game, they win the AFC West, and you can lock that up. You've already locked up your playoff spot, but you can lock up the AFC West. You don't have to worry about it. Bob, as you said, you know, they've got a schedule coming up here that gets difficult because they got, you know, the Raiders and the Panthers out of the way, even though you thought those were going to be two really easy teams. But it does kind of get a little bit tougher as the time goes on here. So if they can win this game, again, however they do it, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, pick your poison, because that's how the Chiefs win every single game, that would be a big deal, just to go ahead and lock up that division. But to your point, I mean, this is what really good coaches do. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh walks in, and Jim Harbaugh walks in, I mean, and the Chargers immediately go from a team that seemed like they're always cursed to a team that is always winning these close games, and just have a functional leader in charge and people who want to play for him, and all of a sudden that filters down, and it's really good. And Sean Payton, future Hall of Fame coach, I would assume, comes in and, again, operating with very tough salary cap restrictions, they're winning games. And so the Raiders are a mess, and that is helpful for the Chiefs to be able to move forward. But the AFC West is going to be competitive the next few years, and I think the Chiefs probably, you know, would do well for themselves to go ahead and lock this thing up this week and not have this thing be looming over their heads here coming up when the schedule toughens up here over the last few weeks.
Final question for Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We saw the return of Isaiah Pacheco. He was not the Isaiah Pacheco we think he will be. When will he be that? How much rust did he need to get off? And when can the Chiefs and their fan base expect Pacheco to kind of become that one, number one running back we all know he is?
Yeah, I think you'll see it this week. I know the Chargers have a tough defense, and they're sort of trying to ease him back in. And listen, part of this is strategic for the Chiefs because they do have a playoff spot locked up, and you want him to be fresh at the right point in the season. But we saw it in the year. Pacheco, they were throwing the ball to him. And, you know, I would ask you guys, I've asked this of our guys at the Star sports staff too, who is the best yards after catch option for the Chiefs right now? Like, you throw him the ball and you feel good about him gaining some yards after the catch. It's really tough to find anybody, right? Like, it's not Kelsey, not Noah Gray, it's not DeAndre Hopkins, it's not Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe that's your answer, but I think that's why they use Pacheco out of the pass game a little bit more, is he's got speed and, you know, he's able to do a little bit more of that than he has in years past, has worked on that part of his game. And then the run game, you know, the Chiefs had it non-existent last week. Andy Reid said that the Raiders brought an extra man, so it kind of forced them to pass the ball more. So I think in different matchups, the Chiefs are still a really good run-blocking team, guard to guard, and can be able to have that, and that should give Pacheco some openings and have him utilize his speed like he did for that one, you know, 34-yard run when he was back last week against the Raiders. So I'd expect more out of him this week. I expect more out of him the rest of the season, and I think, frankly, they need him because this team, when Hollywood Brown went out and when he went out, they went from a fast team to a not fast team very quickly. So I think if they get back to utilizing him a little bit more, the offense will operate a little bit better, and they'll see more openings than they have in games past. And so I think it'll be a big thing in the offense, and wouldn't be too worried about that opening start being a little bit slow. But, yeah, it would be good to get him going back again because he does add an element, especially in the backfield, they don't have before.
All right, the Chiefs at home Sunday night to face the Chargers. Jesse Newell has been our guest. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Yeah, the Chiefs have the Chargers at Cleveland, at home against Houston, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. Tough.
Could
no
be.
Gimmies. Buffalo, which is chasing the Chiefs, of course, has they're at the Rams and at the Lions the next 2 weeks. Then they have the Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah, it's kind of an opposite. Chiefs finish a little bit more difficult. Buffalo has its most difficult games in the immediate future.
Are the Rams a difficult game?
No.
I'd like to think they are, but they're not.
I don't think Houston at home is that difficult, to be honest.
I disagree.
I don't like Houston very much.
I know you don't. I don't know why.
Because they're not very good.
They're, what are they, 9-4?
Are they?
I mean, what? Don't get me started.
They play in a horrible division, so there is that.
Well,
I just don't like Houston that much.
Well, maybe, I don't care.
Maybe they'll show me something.
The fact that you don't like Houston doesn't matter. The fact that Houston's good
matters.
Right.
This is what I tell you every time you make a proclamation. What we think doesn't matter, but we can still have opinions.
They're 8-5, so I gave them an extra win.
They're the same as Baltimore. Do you think Baltimore's really good?
Yes.
Really?
I wouldn't want to play Baltimore. Houston has lost to Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, and then two inexcusable losses to the Jets and the Titans, which we'll never understand.
Yeah.
Terrible. All right, Alyssa Gonzalez joins us. She's a redshirt freshman outside hitter for the Wichita State volleyball team. They're headed to Dallas. They'll face SMU on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Alyssa, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well. We're excited for the Shocker volleyball team. This is a great reward at the end of the season. I'm not sure Many people thought that this was going to happen. How did the team stay together and believe that, yeah, we've had some ups and downs, but we can still make our dreams come true? How did you guys go about that?
Yeah, we went into our conference tournament being the fourth seed, and we didn't let that standard like hold us back or anything in that seeding. And so we just decided that we were going to go into the tournament and we were just going to play our hearts out and leave it all out on the court. And it got us great, great outcomes. We swept our way through the tournament, and I'm so excited to go play SMU.
Yeah, and you were on the all-tournament team. So what clicked for you in those three matches? Did you feel like you were playing your best volleyball too at that time?
Yeah, and I really think it was like all of us as a team. Obviously, I was put in great situations to succeed, but I couldn't have done it without my teammates who put me in those situations.
Talking with Alyssa Gonzalez, you mentioned how much you look forward to playing SMU. You're a Texan. You started your college career at TCU. So I got to imagine SMU has a little extra special feel to it. Am I right?
Definitely. I have a lot of different friends from high school, and a lot of my friends are still in college, but their families are all coming to the game. And so I'm just excited to see everyone, and I'm excited for all the support that us Shockers are going to have, even though it's not a home advantage.
You know, we didn't come up in the era of the transfer portal, so it's always interesting to talk to people who have experienced that or, you know, kind of put it to use. Like you said, you went to TCU last year as a redshirt. What was it about that experience that prompted you maybe to feel like you weren't getting an opportunity there or that you could get a better one elsewhere? Can you just take us kind of through your mindset in making that kind of decision?
Yeah, so I was at TCU, and I am forever thankful for my time there. I got to compete and play with the best every single day. They're a top 25 program. This whole season, they've been in the top 25 for a majority of the week. So just having that experience and being able to train with those top caliber girls, I think gave me something that not everyone has on this team. So I was able to learn from the best and compete with the best every single day. So when I entered the portal, I was ultimately looking for a school that I could go to, that I could play and I could have a huge impact on the team. And I love the coaching staff here at Wichita. So I really just felt that I could be put in a great situation here.
Come on. Why does everybody love Lambeau?
He is just such a guy. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. When I entered the portal, I had about 15 days, I want to say, to like choose my next school. And Lambeau just made me feel comfortable, and he just convinced me that this was going to be my place.
Talking Shocker volleyball with Alyssa Gonzalez. She's a redshirt freshman for the Shockers. So you mentioned being at TCU and in that culture and around all those good players. There are obviously good players here at Wichita State, and one of them is Morgan Stout. How much have you learned from her and her experience?
Yeah, Stout is obviously much older than me, so she has a lot of years of experience under her belt than I do. So I've just taken what she's taught me and tried to use it to the best of my ability. And, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times, and it happened with you too, when we ask WSU volleyball players about individual stuff and accomplishments, they bring it right back to the team. Do you think Lambeau recruits players like that specifically, or is that something that he reminds you of quite a bit, that it's a team game?
Yeah, I think that is just a huge part of the volleyball culture. I think not just WSU, but any volleyball player you talk to, I think ultimately it goes back to the team. This is just such a team-heavy sport that we play. And no matter, like, your mentality, it will quickly change as soon as you start playing volleyball to a team sport.
Alyssa Gonzalez with us from Aleta, Texas. I got to ask you, when you guys got together and watched the selection show, I think the conventional wisdom was that you might be headed to Lincoln or Omaha or Lawrence. How'd you feel when you were announced to be going to Dallas and in the SMU bracket?
Yeah, when I had heard the first three places that we could possibly be playing, I was excited, but we had already played at KU this season. We had also played at Nebraska, and then we had played against Omaha at a tournament at home. So I was really deep down praying we'd go to SMU because obviously it's my hometown. So being home and then just playing new people, I think that would be a great experience. I know some of these girls have played SMU, but I think this SMU team is a completely different team than the Shockers saw last year. So I'm just excited to be able to compete.
Yeah, so you come from an athletic family. You're obviously athletic yourself. You're tall. You can jump, hand-eye coordination. You check all those boxes. So was it always volleyball for you? Did you grow up playing a lot of different sports? And outside of, you know, those obvious things that I mentioned, what kind of drew you to volleyball and kind of made you excel there?
Yeah, so both of my parents played college basketball. So growing up, I played college basketball, and in my mind, I was like, I'm going to the WNBA. I'm going to be the best basketball player. And it was just straight basketball. And then I want to say like seventh grade, I was still playing basketball and everything. And my mom mentioned to me, hey, you should try volleyball. Just like experience it, you know, like you never know what can happen. And I just fell in love with the sport. Like the girls are just my people. And it's just such a fun sport, and I love how team sport and team, like team it is, if that makes sense, where basketball can be really individualized, but volleyball, you have to get three different people to touch the ball on every single play, or the ball is going to, like, drop and you're going to fail. So I just love the fact that you have to all work together.
Alyssa Gonzalez with us, Shocker Volleyball. I'm going to end our interview asking you a pretty silly question, but I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You're from the Metroplex. What's the best place, what's the best thing about growing up in Dallas-Fort Worth area? And then the second part of that question, what have you enjoyed most about Wichita in your time here?
Your first question, I actually was born and raised in California, and then I moved to Texas my senior year. But
well, I screwed that up.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. But I absolutely love Texas. Like, I will be going back there. I would love to raise my family there and everything. So I absolutely love the Stockyards. Me and my family love going to the Stockyards. And we spend a lot of time there. And whenever people come and visit us, we immediately take them to the Stockyards. So that is one of my favorite places. So many good memories there.
And then Wichita. And what have you enjoyed about Wichita?
Yeah, I just enjoy spending time with my teammates and playing. That's my favorite place to be is in the gym. So
there you go.
So, Alyssa, we have something in common. Our mothers both attended UCSB, so say hello to the fellow gaucho for me when you get a chance.
Yes, I will. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. Shockers again in action Thursday night against SMU and with a chance to advance. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
All right, Alyssa Gonzalez from Shocker Volleyball. I didn't know she grew up in California. Why didn't you tell me that?
I didn't know. Sorry about that.
I just presumed she was a Texan.
Well, she went there her senior year.
Oh, well.
Aledo,
Texas. It's a Dallas suburb.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got an hour left. We've got a game coming up at 2:45. I'm sorry, at 3:25. Tomorrow on the show, Mike Furches will be with us to talk pop culture, and also Wichita Northwest basketball coach Andy Hill. Stay with us.
At
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.